All right, let's dive into something really exciting today. We're talking all about Roman wine.
Oh, fantastic. Roman wine.
Yeah, and we're actually going to help a listener who wrote into the show
Okay.
with a really fun request. They're planning a 6-day trip to Rome,
Wonderful, Elaine.
Italy, of
Yeah.
course, and they're looking to turn this into a Roman wine adventure, which I love. I mean,
Pizza Loop.
who doesn't love a good wine adventure, right?
Absolutely, who doesn't?
And I thought, you are the perfect person to help us kind of guide this listener through
Huh.
all the amazing wines in the regions and everything that they should be considering for their trip.
Sounds fun. Let's get into it.
So we've got a stack of articles, regional maps, even some insider tips
Oh, wow.
to really help them experience Roman wine culture like a pro.
Sounds like we have a lot to get through.
We do, we do. So let's jump right in. First things first, Italian wine, I'm just going to say it, can be a little overwhelming. There are so many regions, there are so many grapes, the labels can be confusing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do we even begin to decode all of this?
Well, I think first we need to remember that Italian wine is so rooted in the region,
Okay.
and it's really all about the terroir.
Okay.
Terroir is this special word that's often used to describe a place and how it really impacts and shapes the flavors
Oh,
of the
well.
wine. So it's a combination of climate, soil, altitude, all these factors that come together
Interesting.
to really create that magic in the glass.
So it's not just about the type of grape, it's really about where it's grown.
Exactly.
I
That's what makes the wine so unique.
So terroir is really kind of like the personality of the wine.
Yeah, I like to think of it like that. You know, like each region is like a person with its own unique
Okay.
characteristics.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now, we also hear a lot about these DOC and DOCG designations when it comes to Italian wine.
Yes, absolutely.
Can you kind of break those down for us?
Yeah, for sure. So those are really important indicators of quality when it comes to Italian wine.
Oh,
So
good.
you've got your DOC, which stands for Denominazione di Origine Controllata,
Okay, yeah.
which basically means that the wine is coming from a specific area
Okay.
and it's made with certain production standards. So there are rules and regulations in place
Okay.
to guarantee a certain level of quality
I see.
and authenticity. Then you've got your DOCG, which is like the top tier.
Okay.
It stands for Denominazione di Origine Controllata e Garantita, which means guaranteed. So it's like the DOC, but even stricter.
So DOC, good. DOCG.
Each sectional.
Got it. Okay.
Yep.
So those are the labels we should be looking for when we're
Definitely.
perusing those Italian wine lists. Now, since our listener is going to Rome, I think it makes sense to start with the Lazio region, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Lazio is where Rome is located,
Okay.
and it has a rich history of winemaking.
Okay.
It doesn't get as much attention as some of the other regions like Tuscany,
Right.
but there are definitely some hidden gems to be discovered there.
Okay, now we've got a listener who only has 6 days,
Right.
and I imagine they want to spend some time in Rome itself.
Sure.
So how can we kind of strategically plan some wine adventures
Okay.
within easy reach of the city? Like, are there any must-visit regions that we can squeeze in?
Yeah, absolutely. There are some great options for day
Oh,
trips.
perfect.
So first we've got Frascati.
Frascati, okay.
Yeah, it's a really charming town located in the hills southeast of Rome.
Okay.
And it's known for its white wines, which are really crisp and refreshing.
Okay.
The most famous one is called Frascati Superiore DOC, which is made primarily from the Trebbiano grape.
Okay, so I'm picturing myself, beautiful sunny day,
Yes,
rolling vineyards,
exactly.
Frascati Superiore in my hand. I'm liking this already.
And the unique thing about Frascati wine is it has this beautiful minerality
Oh.
that comes from the volcanic soil in the region. So you get this like almost salty, flinty
Oh, wow.
taste on the palate.
Okay, so volcanic soil equals delicious wine.
Pretty much, yes.
I like that equation.
Yeah.
All right, so we got Frascati for those lovely crisp whites. What if I'm craving a red wine?
Well, then a trip to Marino might be in order.
Marino, okay.
Yeah, it's another town in Lazio, also pretty close to Rome.
Yeah.
And they're known for their lighter-bodied red wines, which are actually often served chilled.
Oh, chilled red wine. All right, I'm intrigued.
Yes. It's perfect for a warm Roman afternoon.
Okay.
You can find a variety of grapes used in Marino wines,
Okay.
but one to look out for is Sessanese.
Sessanese, okay.
Yeah, it makes a juicy, fruit-forward kind of wine.
Okay.
And another bonus, if you time your trip right,
Yeah.
you might catch their annual grape festival.
Oh, a grape festival. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's a really fun celebration of local winemaking traditions.
Definitely adding that to the itinerary. Now, are there any other hidden gems in this region
Yes, absolutely.
that we should be aware of?
So a little bit further afield, but still possible as a day trip, is a place called Sesanias del Piglio DOCG.
Okay.
And this is where Lazio gets a little bit more serious.
Oh,
So we're talking bolder, more structured reds
okay. Okay.
with complex aromas like black cherry and spice.
Wow. Okay. So Sesanese del Piglio DOCG. That's a mouthful,
It is a mouthful.
but it sounds impressive.
It's a very impressive wine, yes.
Okay. So we've got Frascati for the crisp white, Merino for a chilled red, Sesanese del Piglio when you want something a little
Yeah,
more
exactly.
full-bodied.
And each area offers a unique window into Lazio's winemaking traditions.
This is making me want to book a flight right now.
Yeah.
But before we get carried away with our Roman daydreams, let's talk a little bit about the winemaking process itself,
Okay.
because I think it's helpful to understand what goes into making these wines, and
Absolutely.
it really enhances that tasting experience.
Yes.
So what can you tell us about how these wines are made?
Well, I think first we should talk about the grapes themselves,
Okay.
because a lot of Italian winemakers really focus on indigenous grape varieties.
Oh.
So these are grapes that have been grown in the region for centuries,
Oh, wow.
and they're perfectly suited to the local climate and soil.
So like the Trebbiano grape that we were talking about.
Exactly. That's a perfect example.
Okay.
But there are so many others: Sangiovese, Nebbiolo, Barbera, Nero d'Avola.
Okay.
The list goes on. And these grapes are really like a connection
Wow.
to Italian winemaking history.
That's incredible. So, I mean, it's not just about, planting any grape anywhere.
No.
There's a real connection between the grape of the
Exactly.
region.
It's a deep connection. Italian winemakers really try to find the best grape
What?
for the particular vineyard site, and they take into account everything, the soil, the altitude,
Oh.
the sun exposure, even the way the vineyard slopes.
Okay.
So all of this is part of what we call terroir.
So it really is like the DNA of the wine.
Yeah, I like that analogy.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got the grape, we've got the region.
Right.
Now let's talk about the actual winemaking process itself, like the human element,
Sure.
the artistry. Are there any techniques that are specific to Italian winemaking?
Yeah, definitely. One technique that's quite common, especially for red wines,
Okay.
is something called extended maceration.
Extended maceration. All right, tell me more.
So basically what it means is that during fermentation,
Okay.
the grape skins are kept in contact with the juice for a longer period of time.
Okay, and why is that?
Well, it allows more color, more tannins, and more complex flavors to be
Oh.
extracted from the skins.
Oh.
So think of like those really bold, structured wines like the Sesanese del Piglio that we talked about.
Right.
That extended maceration is really what gives them that rich texture and that
Okay.
intensity.
So it's kind of like steeping tea. The longer you steep it, the
Exactly.
stronger the flavor.
Perfect analogy.
Okay.
And then another important element in Italian winemaking is oak.
Oh, yeah.
So, some wines have those beautiful vanilla, spicy aromas
Right.
that comes from aging the wine in oak barrels.
Okay.
And the type of oak, how long the wine is aged in it, all of those factors
Oh, wow.
influence the final taste of the wine.
It's amazing how many layers there are
It is fascinating.
to this. But I have to admit, when I'm enjoying a glass of wine, I'm not usually thinking about the science behind it. So how can I actually use this knowledge to enhance my enjoyment?
I think it's just a way to kind of connect with the wine on a deeper level.
Okay.
So, like for example, when you taste a Frascati, remember that volcanic minerality we talked about?
Yes.
Can you taste that? Can you taste that kind of flinty, almost salty
Okay.
taste?
Yeah.
You're tasting the earth, the history
Wow, that's a cool way to think about
of
it.
that region.
Okay.
Yeah. And then when you taste that Sesanese del Piglio, really pay attention to those tannins. Do you
Wow.
feel them kind of drying out your mouth? That's that extended maceration that we talked about.
Okay.
You're tasting the winemaking process.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's really about connecting the dots between what you're tasting and
Exactly.
how the wine was made.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that a lot.
I think it makes the experience so much richer.
I agree. Now, let's be honest. Sometimes the biggest hurdle for me
Yeah.
is deciphering these Italian wine names.
Yeah, I get it. They can be intimidating.
It can be very intimidating.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't even know where to start.
Right.
So do you have any tips?
Well, some of the names are pretty straightforward, right? They might be based on the region or the
Okay.
grape. But then you have others that are steeped in history and mythology,
Right.
or just a little bit of whimsy.
Like that Est, Est, S she
Exactly.
talked about. Well,
Bam.
what a story.
That's a classic.
So, any advice on how to decode those more cryptic names?
You know, sometimes the best thing you can do is just ask.
Ask.
Ask your server, ask the sommelier.
Oh, cool.
They are usually very knowledgeable
Oh, good.
and they love to talk about wine.
That's good to know.
Plus, it's a great way to discover something new,
Okay.
maybe something you wouldn't have ordered on your own.
So really, it's all about being curious.
Exactly. Be curious, be adventurous.
I like it.
That's what a Roman holiday is all about, right? You
Absolutely.
never know what you'll discover.
That's a great motto for any kind of trip, really.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's talk about putting all of this into practice and actually creating a wine itinerary for our listener.
Sounds good.
They've got 6 days. They're ready to dive into the Lazio region, experience all those delicious wines that we've been talking about.
Absolutely.
So where should they start?
Well, if I were stepping off the plane in Rome,
Okay.
I would head straight to Frascati.
Okay, Frascati. We're going back to Frascati.
Yeah. You know, imagine just sitting on a terrace overlooking those rolling vineyards.
Oh, beautiful.
You've got a glass of that chilled Frascati Superiore in hand.
Okay.
You're breathing in that fresh air.
It sounds heavenly.
It's the perfect way to start your trip.
Now, we talked about those Frascati wines having that unique,
Yes!
almost salty taste from the volcanic soil.
Exactly.
So, what would you recommend pairing
To be
those wines
honest.
with?
Well, Frascati pairs beautifully with seafood.
Oh.
You know, think like fresh grilled fish,
Okay.
maybe some calamari.
Okay.
It also goes really well with creamy cheeses.
Oh, okay.
You know, like a buffalo mozzarella.
Delicious.
Even artichoke dishes are a classic pairing in the region.
Oh, artichoke. I like that. Okay. So we've got Frascati at the top of our list.
Definitely.
Now, you mentioned Marino before with those intriguing chilled red wines.
Yes.
How do you think our listeners should experience that region?
You know, I think a half-day tour to a vineyard in Marino
Okay.
would be fantastic.
Okay.
You can see the vineyards firsthand,
Oh, wow.
learn about the winemaking process. Okay.
And of course, do some tasting.
Obviously.
And you know, since Marino is known for those lighter reds,
Yeah.
I think a picnic lunch among the vines
Oh, a picnic?
would be perfect. You could get some local delicacies,
Knocking.
pair them with the wines.
Oh, that sounds absolutely magical.
It's a really special experience.
Okay, now let's say our listener wants to venture a little further afield
Okay.
and experience those bigger, bolder wines that we talked about.
Sure.
What would you recommend then?
In that case, I'd say a day trip to Sissany's Il Piglio.
Okay.
It is a bit further than Frascati or Marino,
Okay.
but it's well worth the journey.
Okay.
The scenery is just stunning. You know, you've got rolling hills,
Okay.
ancient olive groves,
Okay.
vineyards clinging to these slopes.
Wow.
And those Sissany's Il Piglio wines, they're so powerful.
Okay.
They'll definitely leave an impression.
Okay. So we've got Frascati for that taste of those volcanic white wines.
Yes.
Marino for a picnic with some chilled reds.
And Sissany's Del Piglio for when you want something
Exactly.
a little bit bolder. I'm feeling a little
I
overwhelmed
know, it's a lot.
with choice, but in a good way.
But in a good way, yes.
So how do you think our listeners should prioritize
Okay.
within those 6 days?
Well, it really depends on what they prefer.
Okay.
You know, if they're more into light, refreshing wines, then maybe spend more time in Frascati and
Okay.
Marino. But if they really love those big, structured red wines,
Right.
then Sissany's Del Piglio might be their main focus.
Okay.
And remember, even if they don't have time for all the day trips,
Right.
they can still experience these regional wines in Rome itself.
That's right. You know, we talked about navigating those wine lists
Yes.
and asking the sommelier for recommendations.
Definitely.
So, any specific tips for ordering wine in a Roman restaurant?
You know, don't be shy. Just tell your server what you're interested in.
Okay.
You know, mention the regions that we've talked about.
Okay.
You know, maybe you want to try a Frascati or a Sissany's Del Piglio.
Okay.
It shows you've done your homework
Okay.
and that you're eager to experience local specialties.
Okay.
And never underestimate the power of just asking for a recommendation.
Oh,
You know,
okay.
say, what would you recommend?
Okay.
Sommeliers love to share their knowledge.
Okay, so be curious, be adventurous,
Yes.
and don't be afraid to ask for help.
Exactly.
I love it. Now, we can't talk about wine
Right?
without talking about food.
Of course not. The two go hand in hand.
Exactly. So let's talk about some must-try Roman dishes and how we can pair them with these regional wines that we've been discussing.
Perfect. Let's start with a classic, spaghetti alla carbonara.
Oh, a classic. Okay.
So you've got that rich, creamy sauce with pancetta and pecorino cheese.
Delicious.
Now, that really needs a crisp, acidic white to cut through all that richness.
Okay.
So Frascati Superiore would be an excellent choice.
So carbonara.
Frascati.
Frascati. Got it. Okay, what about something a little heartier?
Okay.
Like a meat dish.
Well, for something like saltimbocca alla romana,
okay,
which is basically thin slices of veal,
okay,
topped with prosciutto and sage.
Okay.
I'd recommend a light-bodied red from Marino.
Okay.
You know, something with a bit of bright fruitiness to complement the delicate flavors of the veal.
So saltimbocca.
Marino.
Marino.
Oh.
Got it. All right.
Yeah.
And for someone who likes things a little spicy, what would you recommend?
All right. If you're having bucatini alla matriciana, which is a spicy tomato sauce with pancetta and chili flakes, you need a wine with a bit more structure and body.
Okay.
To stand up to those bold flavors.
Oh, yeah.
So a Cecinese del Pilio would be a great match.
Okay. Bucatini alla matriciana.
Cecinese del Pilio.
Cecinese del Pilio. I'm writing this all down. I'm getting hungry just thinking about all this food.
Me too.
And these wines. But I think we've given our listener a really fantastic starting point for their Roman wine adventure.
I agree.
You know, they've got their regions. They've got their wine tasting strategies.
Yeah.
And most importantly, their food pairings.
Exactly.
All that's left to do now is book that flight and start packing.
And enjoy.
And enjoy. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
But I want to make sure our listener remembers one key takeaway from this discussion.
Okay.
What is the most important thing they should keep in mind when choosing wines in Rome?
I think the most important thing is to be open to new experiences.
Okay. I like that.
Don't be afraid to step outside your comfort zone.
Okay.
Try something you've never had before.
Okay.
You know, ask questions.
Okay.
Talk to the locals.
Okay.
And most importantly, just enjoy the journey.
I love it. That's great advice. So cheers to our listener and their upcoming Roman wine adventure.
Cheers.
May it be filled with delicious discoveries and unforgettable memories.
Yeah.
This has been The Deep Dive, signing off for now. But don't worry, we'll be back next week to delve even deeper into the world of Roman wine.
Absolutely.
So stay tuned.
Until then, happy sipping. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Do I really need a winemaking lesson to enjoy a glass of wine?
Right.
But trust me, knowing a bit about the process can really add to that enjoyment. It's like knowing the backstory of a character in your favorite book.
I like that.
It just adds that extra layer of depth.
Okay.
So let's talk a little bit about how these wines are made.
All right, but let's keep it approachable.
Of course, of course.
I'm more of a sip and savor kind of wine drinker.
No problem. We'll keep it light.
Okay, good.
And engaging. So let's start with the heart of it all, the grapes.
Okay, the grapes.
Italian winemakers have a deep respect for tradition.
Okay.
And they often prioritize indigenous grape varieties.
Indigenous.
So these are grapes that have been grown in a specific region for centuries.
Wow.
And they're perfectly adapted to the local climate and soil.
So like the Trebbiano grape we talked about.
Exactly. The Trebbiano grape. Yeah.
Perfect example. And there are countless others, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Sangiovese, Nebbiolo, Barbera, Nero d'Avola, each with its own unique story.
So it's not just about like planting any grape anywhere, right?
Right. No.
There's a real connection.
There's a real connection between the grape and the region.
Okay.
And Italian winemakers are masters at matching the right grape to the right vineyard site.
Wow.
To create wines that really reflect their origin. And they consider everything, soil composition, altitude, sun exposure, even the way the vineyard slopes, all those elements that we lump under that magic word, terroir.
Terroir. It's like the DNA of the wine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we've got the grapes, we've got the region, but there's also the winemaking process itself.
Yes.
You know, the human element.
Absolutely, the artistry.
Yeah. Are there any specific techniques that are really unique to Italian winemaking?
You know, one technique that comes to mind is extended maceration.
Extended maceration. Okay, tell me more. It's mainly used for red wines, and it basically involves keeping the grape skins in contact with the juice for a longer period during fermentation.
Okay, then why would they do that?
Well, it allows for more color, tannins, and complex flavors to be extracted from the skins. So think of those bold, structured Cecinese del Pilio wines we mentioned. That extended maceration is part of what gives them that rich texture and that intense fruitiness.
So it's kind of like a steeping tea. The longer you steep it, the stronger the flavor.
Yeah, exactly. Great analogy.
Okay.
Now let's talk about another key player in the Italian winemaking symphony. Oak. You know how some wines have those subtle hints of vanilla or spice?
Oh, yeah.
That often comes from aging the wine in oak barrels.
Okay.
And the type of oak used, how the barrel is toasted, how long the wine spends in it, all these factors contribute to the final flavor profile.
Okay, so it's like a whole other level of complexity.
It is.
Now, I have to admit, when I'm sipping a glass of wine, I'm not usually like dissecting the science behind it. So how can we actually use this knowledge to enhance our enjoyment, do you think?
Well, think of this knowledge as a toolbox for your senses.
Okay, a toolbox.
Yeah. So, for example, when you taste a Frascati, remember that volcanic minerality we talked about?
Yeah.
You know, can you taste that hint of saltiness, that almost flinty edge? You're tasting the earth itself.
Wow, like that.
Yeah, you're tasting the history of that region.
Okay.
And when you try that Sessanese del Piglio, you know, pay attention to the tannins. Do you feel that kind of drying sensation on your palate?
Yeah.
That's the extended maceration at work. It gives the wine structure and grip.
So we're kind of connecting the dots between the winemaking process and what we're actually tasting.
Exactly. And ultimately, you're appreciating the artistry and the passion that goes into crafting these wines. Italian winemaking is this beautiful blend of tradition, innovation, and a deep connection to the land.
Now, let's be honest. Sometimes the biggest hurdle for me is just deciphering those Italian wine
Oh,
names.
I get it. The names can be intimidating.
They can be.
Yeah.
So, any tips for decoding those more cryptic names?
Don't hesitate to ask your server or the sommelier.
Oh, okay.
They're walking encyclopedias of wine knowledge, and they love to share their insights. Plus, it's a great way to discover new wines and expand your palate.
Okay, so it's all about being curious and adventurous, right?
Exactly. And what's a Roman holiday without a little exploration?
Very true, very true. You never know what hidden gems you might uncover. Okay, so let's actually map out a wine itinerary for our listener.
Okay.
6 days in Rome, ready for a wine adventure. Where do we even begin?
All right, so picture this. You just landed in Rome. You've dropped your bags off at the hotel.
Okay.
Time for some wine.
Yes.
I say we head straight to Frascati.
Straight to Frascati.
Yeah, get out of the city, beautiful little hilltop town. You can find a sunny terrace
Okay.
overlooking the vineyards.
I love that.
Glass of Frascati Superiore in hand. Ah, perfect start to the trip.
And I love that those Frascati wines, you know, we talked about that kind of minerality, that almost salty taste from
Yeah.
the volcanic soil. So unique.
Absolutely. You won't find that in many other wines.
What would you recommend pairing those wines with?
Well, Frascati goes beautifully with seafood.
Okay.
So think, you know, fresh grilled fish, maybe some calamari.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It also pairs really well with creamy cheeses,
Okay.
like a buffalo mozzarella.
Delicious.
You could even try some artichoke dishes. That's very classic in the region.
Oh, artichokes. I love artichoke.
Yeah, a lot of good options.
Okay, so Frascati's at the top of our list. What about Merino? Those chilled red wines. How should we experience those?
You know what? I think a half-day tour to a vineyard in Marino
Okay.
would be perfect. You can see the vineyards firsthand, learn about how the wine is made,
Okay.
and of course, you get to taste. And because those Marino reds are often served chilled,
Yeah.
why not have a picnic
Oh, picnic.
right among the vines? You can get some local cheeses, some cured meats, olives, all those good
It's like a
things.
movie. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, and let's say our listener wants to go a little further, experience those big, bold wines we talked about.
All right, for that, we're heading to Sessanese del Piglio.
Okay.
It's a bit further out, but I promise you it's worth the trip.
Okay.
It's just beautiful, rolling hills, ancient olive groves, vineyards on the slopes.
It sounds incredible.
And those Sessanese del Piglio wines, they're something else.
So just to recap, we have Frascati for those volcanic whites,
Yep.
Merino for that perfect picnic with chilled reds, Sessanese del Pio for a bolder experience.
Exactly.
So many choices. How do we even choose?
Well, it depends what you're into, right? If you prefer lighter wines,
Okay.
maybe spend more time in Frascati and Marino.
Okay.
If you love big reds, Sessanese del Piglio is calling your name.
Okay.
And remember, even if you don't have time for all the day trips,
Yeah.
you can still get a taste of these wines in Rome.
Right. We talked about navigating those wine lists.
Yeah.
Any last tips for ordering in a restaurant?
Don't be afraid to talk to your server.
Okay, tell them what you like. Mention the regions we talked about. Mm-hmm. Say you want to try a Frascati or a Cisnese del Pio. It shows you're interested in the local wines.
Okay.
And you never know. They might even have something special off menu.
Ooh, a secret wine.
That they want to share.
I like it. All right. And we can't forget the food. Roman food. So delicious.
Absolutely. Gotta have the food.
How do we pair it with all these wines?
Okay. So let's start with a classic Roman dish. Spaghetti alla carbonara.
Okay. Love carbonara.
That rich, creamy sauce, you need a crisp white wine to cut through it.
Okay.
A Frascati Superiore is perfect.
So carbonara, Frascati, classic combo. What about a good meat dish?
All right, if you're having saltimbocca alla romana,
okay,
that's veal with prosciutto and sage, uh-huh, I'd go with a light red from Marino.
Okay.
The fruitiness of the wine will complement those delicate flavors.
So saltimbocca Marino red.
Exactly.
Okay.
And if you're having something spicy,
okay, yeah,
like a bucatini alla matriciana, that's a spicy tomato sauce, you need a wine with some structure.
Okay. So Cisnese del Pilio, you can handle that heat.
All right, so bucatini alla matriciana, Cisnese del Pilio. I think I'm ready to eat.
Me too.
And drink. I think we've given our listener a fantastic starting point.
I think so, yeah.
For their Roman wine adventure.
They've got their regions, their food pairings.
Yeah, and they know to be adventurous and ask questions.
Exactly. That's the most important thing.
So to our listener, cheers to your Roman wine adventure. May it be filled with delicious discoveries and unforgettable memories. This has been The Deep Dive, signing off.